all my life, been grinding all my life. Sacrifice, hustle, pay the price. Want a slice, got to roll the dice. That's why all my life, I've been grinding all my life. Look, all my life, been grinding all my life. Sacrifice.
We were just talking about the stellar lineup the Mariners put on the field today. And how we don't know any of the players on it.
Gene Segura.
Nope.
Won the game for the Phils.
Yeah, try and
Corey Seager's brother.
Try and name two Mariners. Try and name two starting Mariners today. And Kyle Seager is one of them, so you've got one of them.
Mike Zanino.
Nope. Quality. Now, you won't be able to do it, dude.
No.
They're bad.
I have no idea.
Ooh, Correa just got hit. There you go. A's fans giving a standing ovation for Correa just getting hit by a pitch. You love to see it, guys. You love to see it. Ooh, he went high with it, too. Damn shame.
Yeah, got him in the arm. He's good.
He does have a guard up there, too, so he's fine. Still. So, where shall we start, I guess? We could start with opening day. Did it make a blip for either of you guys?
No, I was at work.
Yeah, same.
I mean, 10 a.m. sporting events, I mean, unless it's March Madness, I'll tip my cap to opening day, but I'm really not watching a four-hour game at 10 in the morning.
Royals play the morning?
I don't know.
They were like an afternoon game, I think. Maybe like a 1 o'clock start.
Afternoon in their time zone. Yeah.
Yeah, well, the Sox got rained out, so
I'm fortunate, you know, being an Oakland fan, they always play late. Like, they're always playing at 7 o'clock.
I kind of don't care about opening day. I've realized that, like, probably like 4 years ago.
Yeah.
Because outside of the bunting they put on the walls, the red, white, and blue bunting,
yeah,
and flyover. Well, there's 161 more of them. So,
well, true opening day used to be they would just play like the World Series champion would play the only game for opening day. It was just like the one game, and then the next day everyone played. But it had a little fanfare. I don't know why they went away from it.
Because nobody cared.
ESPN put it on. It was a big spectacle.
I think. Well, and you can't like have a.
Well, I mean, even I think in those years. Hey, it's opening day. Just don't pay attention to the teams we sent to Japan for a week.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, that's right.
Well, everything.
Well, at least they sent the Mariners usually, so no one cared. Yeah,
exactly.
No one watched it.
Everything changed, though. You can't do that. You can't have like full stadiums. The whole point, if you're going to have a spectacle, is to do it in front of a full stadium.
In Arlington, you can.
Yeah. Solid decision making going on in Texas right now.
It's just one. I mean, not to like, it's one day. By game two, there will not be a sold out crowd for the Rangers. They're going to be
just by default. I mean,
just by default. And they're supposed to be especially bad this year. So,
yeah.
Hey, I think it's good for some teams. Like we're saying, the A's and the Mariners, they could call this a sellout because there's like 3,000 people there, and that's the max they could have.
Dude, teams are doing that. The Rockies officially called it a sellout at like just over 20,000.
Yep.
They did have quite a few people in there, though. Like, I saw pictures of the crowd and stuff, and I was like, oh, man, that feels like too much. But okay.
Tomorrow it'll be 9,000 and change.
I was telling Ski before.
That's just baseball.
I was telling Ski before we started, like, the A's crowd is very average Oakland attendance. Like, it is right along the line of Oakland A's home game. All right, so do we want to talk about, like, the Lindor signing or something? I don't really care because it's the Mets and Lindor or whatever. But do you have anything? I mean, he's, like, the third highest paid player ever or something. I don't know.
Well,
and you're 10-year contracts don't work out, but you want to know what? It's not my money. I don't care.
Yeah. So what
it makes the Tatis Jr. trade, the Tatis Jr. deal look better because they got four more years for the same amount of money.
Well, baseball smart people are saying that was a bad deal.
Yeah,
compared but now to the Lindor deal, they're saying Tatis is overpaid.
Well, Lindor just paid more money than him. Oh, matter in sports.
I'm just saying, you go argue with Jeff Passan. You do it. You
I
coward.
Will go argue with Jeff.
You will. You go yell at Buster Olney for saying that today.
Oh, I would.
Kirk Shin, we're coming for you. But I was surprised when I heard them because I just figured. Not, I know this isn't Lindor, but when Tatis Jr. signed that deal, I was like, he's young enough. I mean, in 12 years or whatever, he won't be good anymore, but it's a good deal.
Yeah.
And then I was surprised today to hear that baseball people think that's a bad deal for the Padres.
I mean, you are in the baseball world because, I mean, you're stuck with that contract.
I mean, I guess they gave up, I don't know how many years of paying him like $14,000 because baseball's dumb like that.
Yeah,
I mean that's it. All comes down to these teams for screwing with young kids.
Tatis is pretty good.
He's really good. Pretty good. And baseball money is monopoly money, anyways. So who the fuck cares?
The Mets owner is worth like $3.5 billion.
Yeah.
That dude does not care about a $30 million a year player. That's a drop in the bucket.
The only thing you could say is it comes to
by the end of that contract too.
Which is amazing.
Yep.
Where you get, or sometimes you get stuck with like how the Angels are. I mean, they have to play Pujols still because they're paying him so much money, and he's been done for 2-3 years.
That was a base. Bad one. He still gets on base though. Does he now? Does he hit like 300?
Not anymore. He's like a 270, 280 hitter now.
Is he close to any milestones?
I think he's creeping on a home run milestone of some kind. I'm not sure who he's passing, but I mean,
do we give a shit about baseball records anymore? Like, do we care?
Here, before you go on, here you go, Brian. Here's 224 lap.
So since Pujols arrived in Anaheim,
I was asked.
In 2012. Okay, so we're saying you might still hit for average, right? His first year there, 285. 258, 272, 244, 268, 241, 245, 244, 224.
Wow. That's pretty consistent.
It was great. He had 140 home run season in there, at least one.
I'm just amazed that he still had a year where he hit 240 and had over 100 ribbies.
Here you go. You'll take it, right? Shit.
I mean, the A's would have signed him. A's love that.
Any team would take that. No. Did you not watch Moneyball? The A's like people who get on base. 240 is not
– Well, batting average doesn't equal on base percentage. No,
what's Bonds' home run record? Like, what does he have for his career?
Seven something?
Seven. Well, Aaron was 755. Did Bonds get to in the 770s?
Yeah, we should probably know that, right?
I'm good because Pujols is 38 away from 700.
Yeah,
so I guess that is technically a milestone that he won't hit this year, but
762. That's what
762.
All right, 762. Yeah.
Oh, so Pujols just needs 101 more to be the all-time leader.
He'll do it.
He's got like 7 years in him, right?
Yeah, he'll do it.
Yeah, sure.
He can play until he's 50.
That would be great. That'd be one of the best sports stories in the history of Earth. Guy plays till 50, hits a home run, goes to the retirement home.
That is the one hard thing about baseball, like that record. Because Pujols has been healthy for his career.
Yeah.
Like he has not missed a lot of time for an injury. And the fact that that kind of player is like maybe might get to 700. I mean, it doesn't bode well for anyone else trying to get to 700.
Well, that goes back to the question I asked. Like, do we give a shit about baseball records anymore? Like, any records?
Yeah.
Those are the only ones they care about, really. No one cares about basketball. No one really cares about football.
Right. I think Karl Malone is the leading scorer in the NBA. And Karl Malone is the butt of every joke ever. So
is he really?
Yeah, I guess we still do, just by
I thought it was like Kareem or Wilts or something. I'm pretty sure it's Kareem.
I think it's Karl Malone.
I don't think so, dude.
There you go. That's how much NBA.
Oh, I just know he has more than Michael Jordan.
Okay. That might be true. I'm pretty sure it's Kareem, though. Yeah. It's Kareem and then Karl Malone, then LeBron, then.
Oh, I was so wrong.
No, you're close. Jeez. All I knew is that it was Kareem. I didn't know anything else beyond that. Karl Malone's second. That's cool. LeBron's.
He only averaged 25 a game.
So I guess LeBron's like 3,000 points away from breaking the record. So I guess that's the next big record that we'll be talking about. I don't know. Because like you said, football records, like nobody gives a shit about them.
Well, now they're playing 17 games and soon enough to be 18.
It seems like football, they only really care about like single season records.
Yeah.
And that's only for like that year.
Yeah, but even then, man, like guys are, you know, Derrick Henry running for 2,000 yards, like it just seems like that was easy for him. And then receivers, like remember when 100 catches in a season was a big deal? Like you get like a dozen receivers over 100 catches in a season. Like look like Tyler Lockett or whatever does. Like motherfuckers catching 120 passes in a season now. Like it's not even a thing.
I think that whole metric went away when 5'6" white guys were catching 100 balls for Brady.
So. Wes Welker.
People are still using it. Like I saw an NFL Network thing maybe last week where they were ranking the top 5 receivers, which my God. Okay.
Already, they're doing that now.
And they're like, well, Tyreek Hill just misses out on the top 5 because he only had 87 catches. And so I was like, oh, like, okay, I'm not even really, I don't care about that. Yeah. But I was like, oh, let me look at the stats. And I was like, yeah, well, okay, he had like 29 less catches than 3 of those guys and more yards. Because anyone can do the Cole Beasley 4-yard slant.
Yeah.
Hey, unless you got that bonus hitting at 100 catches, then you really want to get those 100 catches.
I think Julius Edelman killed the whole catch thing.
Yeah.
Because people are asking if he's a Hall of Famer. It was like,
yeah.
No. But look at his catches. No.
No.
No, no.
I love that you call him Julius, by the way.
What is his name?
Julian.
Julius. I don't know. I don't care.
He wishes it was Julius. That's fucking dope.
I mean, it's tougher now also when you got running backs catching like 60, 65 passes a game now as well.
Yeah.
I mean,
if you're not a running back, if you're a starting running back and you don't catch that many balls, like you're not shit.
You're not on my fantasy team. I know that. I ain't drafting unless you catch them.
All right. I guess if we're talking NFL, should we talk about the 49ers trade? Do you have anything to say about it? I have a little bit.
I just think it's funny that they're going to draft Mac Jones.
I think it's funny as well. And I think it was interesting. Like, I don't know if you caught any of the press conference that Shanahan and Lynch had, but like it was, I mean, I guess time will tell on this, but it was like the most honest press conference I've ever seen from an NFL team leading up to the draft, who's like picking in the top 5, because they literally were like, like, we made this trade to get a quarterback, which one, you don't say that. We made this trade two, to get one of the quarterbacks we're going to look at. Shanahan's like, I'm going to Mac Jones's pro day. Shanahan never goes to pro days. He doesn't do it. It's like if it's not Stanford's, which is like a, you know, fucking 15-minute drive, or I don't know, you hop on the BART for a half an hour. He's not doing it. And so he and Lynch both go to Alabama's pro day. They talk about doing that. They talk about going to Justin Fields' second pro day. It's like, yeah, we're going to get a quarterback. These are the guys we're looking at. Don't even mention Lawrence. Don't even mention, like, they have like a scout going to Wilson's pro day. So it's like, yeah, not really super serious about him. Like Trey Lance, they don't even mention at all. And then they talk about, like, Shanahan talked about talking with Jimmy, And he's like, yeah, he was pissed off. But, you know, our plan here is to draft, you know, somebody who's hopefully going to replace him. And like, so like they signed Jimmy G to a long-term deal, and they're talking openly in a press conference about how they're about to draft his replacement. And, you know, hoping that it's going to happen sooner rather than later. Like, yeah, but Jimmy's our quarterback this year. Beyond that,
I'd like, lay a fucking egg if I was Jimmy G.
It's like, Jesus Christ, guys.
Look at the contrast there between when Tyrod Taylor got hurt, or, you know, got hurt when he got stabbed in the chest with a needle.
Stabbed
was,
in what, the chest
2 weeks? Was that there was like 2 weeks after that when, you know, they were still saying, like, he's our quarterback, he's still our starter, you know, Justin's just filling in until he comes back. And everyone knew Tyrod was gone. He wasn't playing ever again. You 100% know Jimmy G. I don't even see how he starts week one. If they draft Mac Jones and you're Jimmy G, what are you doing? You're going to go out there and just make it so other teams want to get you, I guess, is your only play?
Yes. No. And the 49ers hope he does that and hope he plays well and then hope he gets hurt. Because then you can trade him to the fucking Patriots, who really want to fucking trade for him. And basically the Niners are like, yeah, we're not doing it this season. Like, this is the wrong time to ask. It's not going to happen. It's going to be later. And so the Niners hope his value stays high so they can get, you know, maybe one of those first round picks back that they just gave up to the Dolphins. And then you move on with whoever the hell replaces him. I'll say, like, I want the 49ers to draft Ja'Marr Chase. Like, I think Chase is one of those guys. Like, I remember, like, the Falcons traded up in the draft to get Julio Jones, and they gave up a bunch for it, like, to the Browns. And the Browns ended up, like, using those picks on absolute dog shit. But, like, that's it. You think about trading up for a receiver in the draft, and you're like, that's bad money. Like, don't do it. Like, there's a ton of receivers, but there's not a ton of generational receivers. Like, I think the Falcons, like, that's without a doubt a smart trade. Like, they give up like 3 first round picks or something, but they got Julio Jones, who's one of the best receivers of his generation. So if not the best. And then, like, I think Chase is one of those guys, man. And you know, You have Jimmy come back healthy. You have him on his long-term deal. He's not going anywhere unless you want him to go somewhere. You just re-upped your offensive line. You got Trent Williams. You got solid everywhere across the board. You got Kittle back. You got, you know, all these pieces. The only fucking thing you're missing is a number one elite wide receiver. Like, they have Debo, but Debo was hurt last year. They got Ayuk last year. He's okay.
Number one receiver.
He's not a number one. Like, but you bring in that fucking guy, and you know, you're set at the position for at least the rookie contract. And that's fucking 34 years. So you get your Super Bowl, then you eventually overpay him, and, you know, it all falls apart. But, you know, hopefully you get your Super Bowl in that time, and that's all that matters.
If they kick Jimmy G to the curb for Mac Jones, I'm just going to laugh at the Niners.
Yeah. I don't know.
Are you guys
I'm hoping that's like a 3 years down the road move, but I don't know.
I mean, are you guys on the same page with me saying that how he looked at Alabama is just so overinflated by his team is so superior? I mean, it's like Tua. Look at Tua in the NFL. Mm-hmm. Tua looks very average.
He's got a better arm than Tua. I'll give him that.
Will give him that. But Tua actually has the other tangibles that they love to go with it.
Zero.
Yeah. He feels more along the lines of like a Ben Roethlisberger. Yeah. Just he's going to stand there.
Yeah.
And he's going to get murdered because he does not move.
So I didn't follow. I didn't really follow Alabama during the season much. Like, I just kind of caught them towards the end a little bit. Like, I looked at his numbers. They're fucking insane. Like,
did you look at, like, Devontae Smith's numbers? I mean.
I know. That helps. Yeah. It helps.
There you go. I mean,
yeah.
Here's how good Mac Jones's weapons were last year. The guy that won the Heisman Trophy as a receiver was their number two receiver until, like, week number six when Jalen Waddle went out or whenever that was. Like, Devonta Smith was not their number one guy until Waddle got hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah, he
still put up great numbers, but But Waddle was like looked at as like the NFL guy, the number one.
It's like 4,500 yards and 41 touchdowns and 4 interceptions. That's fucking bonkers. But yeah, no, you said it. He's got two of the best active wide receivers in the country from last year.
Because I do, and I don't know how to evaluate quarterbacks. So, I mean, I'm not really sitting here saying Mac Jones, obvious bust. But it's so hard to judge these guys. Because, like, Herbert, people were killing her number 5 pick or whatever he was. Bust, bust. And then you would hear people that, like, watched his tape in college and were like, yeah, guys, he didn't have receivers that got open.
No, or had any talent.
He was, every throw had to be like a 9 or a 10 on a 10-point scale.
Yeah.
I mean, he threw a lot of screens, you know what I mean? But I'm talking like the down the field stuff. He didn't have any guys that were just, every play, they were just open. Made it look like a busted coverage, and it wasn't. It was just the receiver was so good. So that's, it just makes it so hard.
Yep.
I mean, like when my team drafted Mahomes, I was cool with it, but in my head, I was like,
why? Yeah.
Well, no, I was cool with it because I was like, hey, it's the first one they've drafted in their like 50 in the last 50 years in the first round. Good for that. But man, they really left that Deshaun Watson guy sitting out there.
Right.
Yeah.
And now, boy, am I glad they did.
Yeah, kind of glad the Niners didn't pull the trigger on that trade earlier, huh?
Yikes.
But we digress. It is funny how you bring up the Herbert comparison, because all the things they're saying that are like huge pros, you know, the arm strength and all that is what Herbert had, but they seem to just kill Herbert.
Yeah.
With that. It's like they're taking, because he played at Oregon and it wasn't like, oh, it's not fit for professional, you know, an NFL quarterback system. Mm-hmm. But you take it to Alabama with Saban and them, it's like, oh, he's been, you know, getting groomed. He's ready for the NFL already.
Well, and the funny thing about Alabama, the funny thing about Herbert's like draft analysis is they'd be like, well, he plays in Oregon. It's this wide open, fun and gun. They're just playing pace and space. And it's like,
that's Alabama's offense.
That's Alabama's offense. Mario does not do that.
Yeah, Oregon runs still the middle and runs screens.
They have about 5 straight coaches in Oregon that did that, but this one, not so much.
That Oregon runs Alabama spread when they first started doing the spread.
When they had Lane. Yeah, Lane's first year.
Lane Kiffin.
When they reluctantly. You know what? Let's draw 3 wide receivers in this set. 3.
Saban's still very much in control of the game plan. It's like, no, don't spread it out too much, Lane. Not on my watch, pal. By the way, go ahead.
Speaking of Saban, there's this like series, I don't know what it's called. It's somewhere on YouTube where you can find all these coaches who talk to like mainly it's other high school coaches and some smaller level college coaches. Mm-hmm. And they just talk about their scheme and blah, 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 blah. And I came across one with Saban from like a week ago. And he was talking about his offense. And he was like, listen, if it was up to me, it'd still be 2012. I would run the ball. I would control the clock. I play great defense. But you want to know what? You got to score now. Like, it just is what it is. You're like, my defense was the best in the SEC last year. We gave up 24 points. There were years where we didn't give up 24 in a game.
Yeah. Oh, man.
It's all different.
Back to Herbert, by the way. So as is the case with many people around the world right now, I got HBO Max a couple weeks ago, mainly for the Justice League movie. But then you kind of realize, it's like, holy shit.
Have you finished that one?
I liked it.
Oh, God.
I'm a Batman nerd, so I loved it.
Batfleck. Oh.
Yeah,
I don't get why people like Batfleck. Does he ever say anything?
Yeah.
When he's Batman, does he ever talk? I feel like that was just a whole movie of him in the suit just looking. Joker. Knows it. And then he was just like a regular Ben Affleck, like, hey guys, we should like assemble.
Hey guys, you want to go get some fucking Dunkin'? Let's go.
I'm starting a league to impose justice. Where's Poison Ivy?
Hey, Alfred, go pick me up some munchkins and a fucking iced fucking macchiato.
Macchiato.
Like, I just derailed that whole thing. I was fine with the Snyder Cut.
Yeah.
It was entertaining. It took me multiple sit downs to watch it because, good God.
I took a break. Like, I set aside some time on a Saturday. And, you know, I got through like 2 hours, took a break, had a little bit of food, and then was like, all right, settle back in. Let's go. I liked it because they fucking added – it's a different movie. Like, it's a totally different storyline than the original one. Like, it's got the main villain in it now. He added superheroes. It made, like, that cyborg characters – like, it made him way more interesting. I don't know. I thought it was cool. Anyway.
If you like that, get ready for the 20-hour director cut of Once Upon a Time in Hollywood to come out.
Oh, Jesus.
Then you'll be fucking set.
Did you hear, though, that Snyder wants to put out another cut of that movie?
No, I didn't.
It's like a black and white cut where they add another hour.
That is happening. That's happening. Yeah. I'm not into it. I don't understand why you would release a black and white version of like any movie. Like, it's a fun idea. I understand, like, the novelty of it for, like, super-duper film nerds. But, like, the color is awesome. There's a reason, like, scientists work so hard to make TVs color. And why we have HD TVs and fucking 8K coming up for, like, $8 billion. It's because it's fucking awesome. And, like, by the way, that's the thing I don't like about the Snyder Cut is he did the fucking 4:3 aspect ratio.
So brutal. It's
like we're watching on a tube TV. Like, what the fuck are you doing, dude?
And I love how artsy people were like, well, it's 4:3 because of blah, 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 blah. Yes, wank, wank, wank. I'm watching Batman. Like, I don't need your artsy fucking 4:3.
Yeah, what's it? Snyder's thing is like Schindler's List, putting it in black and white.
Come on.
Do you like the Leto Joker?
No, it was fucking terrible. I remember when the trailer came out for what was it, Batman versus Superman? Suicide Squad. Yeah. So I remember when I watched the trailer for it and I was like, this is fucking awesome. Like, this is one of the coolest things I've ever seen. Like, I am hyped for this Joker. This is going to be legit. And then the movie comes out and that is some of the worst. That's some of the worst decision making I've ever seen, like, with a character.
Awful.
Jesus.
Yeah. I haven't seen Suicide. Watched it once. Haven't seen it in years. Oh. I feel like that scene they showed in the trailer was like the one scene.
The one good scene.
The one scene. Yeah.
Well, did they cut a shit ton of him out?
Really, really bad. Oh, fucking great.
Yeah. It looked good.
But it was not good.
Yeah, it was kind of like the art snobs.
Yeah.
You know, the art house snobs being like, oh, the 4:3 is great. They're like, oh, that scene with Leto was so good. And I was like,
The scene with it was not.
It was fine.
And for the record, I liked Suicide Squad. Like, I thought Will Smith was awesome in it. I thought fucking Margot Robbie is awesome in it. Like, she is perfect for that character.
Don't get me started on Birds of Prey, though.
That's an interesting one. I liked parts of that one.
I like the concept.
Yeah.
Have we just started our movie pod? Is that what we just did? Yeah.
By the way, tune in next week.
Rush Hour 3.
Yeah, if we do these on
Rush Hour 3, in.
If we do these on Thursdays, we'll have to do the movie one on like Monday. All right. So anyway, back to my original point. Herbert. And so now having HBO, I was like, oh, fuck, I can finally watch Hard Knocks. And so I was like, shit, Herbert and Hard Knocks, I'll be into it. Let's go. Watching that, So I remember when Anthony Lynn got fired, I was like, oh man, like he had a pretty good season. Like this is kind of shitty. He had a pretty good year. They had to go through COVID stuff. They didn't have a preseason. It's like, man, he was doing his best. And I guess I see why they fired him, but man, that's rough. But then you watch
because he tanked like five games.
Yeah.
That they should have won.
Yeah. In that press conference where they asked him about time management and he was like, I have no idea. Like, I'm not the one to ask. Like, what? You're the head coach. You're literally the person to ask. But like watching Herbert in that show and then watching and he says it in the show too, and then watching Anthony Lynn say, no, Tyrod Taylor's gonna be our starter, you know, Herbert's not ready yet or whatever. It's like, what are you fucking looking at? Like Tyrod Taylor's like, you know, 4'6", like has an average arm, always has. And like Herbert, like you watch him, mind you, it's like in shorts and shells, but like he's dropping dimes like every practice. And I know it's like edited together and stuff, but like that was kind of the talk of the camp too, is how well he was playing and how like much he was ready for it. And then to see Anthony Lynn make that decision, you're just like, dude, do you want to win football games? Like,
it is funny because I remember like, you know, week five, week six, somewhere around there, I read some article from some LA Times guy. And he was basically like, the Hard Knocks HBO was telling us this guy should be the starter. He was like, I know it's edited, they could play games, but he was like, that tape was that tape. Like, yeah. They were the first ones telling Anthony Lynn, start the rookie.
Start the fucking rookie. It's not even close. God. And then, by the way, like, it didn't even really dawn on me just how impressive it was how he played against the Chiefs in that first game. Because like he didn't have a preseason. Like they had zero preseason games. They had like a scrimmage. I remember they canceled their main scrimmage because of the Black Lives Matter stuff. Like remember that, like the Jacob Blake guy got killed in Wisconsin and they canceled their scrimmage. And so like they didn't really have a scrimmage. They didn't have any preseason games. He was like just taking backup reps the whole time and then just gets thrown out against the defending fucking Super Bowl champions. And like balls out like crazy. Fuck, man. It just makes you think how shitty Marcus Arroyo was, doesn't it?
Yes.
God. All right. Shall we talk about the Ducks? okay. How about this? How about we do our since we're talking about movie stuff, let's do our top three. Let's do our list.
Well, in honor of HBO Max, which is our new sponsor for the week,
yep.
HBO Max, get HBO on Max, only on HBO Max.
To the max.
To the max, brah!
Godzilla vs. Kong came out last night.
Sure did.
So we are doing our top three kaijus. Yeah. Kaiju characters? I don't even know how you know.
Kaiju.
I don't know the proper phrasing there.
Kaiju. That's right.
Kaiju. Yeah. Our top three kaiju.
Giant monsters. That's what they are.
Gigante monsteros.
Did you know what a kaiju was before Pacific Rim came out? I never heard the term.
I didn't know what a kaiju was before like a week ago.
I never heard the term kaiju before that movie.
I just wanted to, once I heard it, I was like, I got to throw that out there.
Yeah.
No. Kaiju. It's me. Kaiju genre expert.
Yeah, yeah. No, perfect. Movie podcast. Listen to it. Yeah. All right. So what's your three? You start us off. Your idea. Let's go. Kaiju expert.
Mine is Ibira because he's like a big crawfish. And crawfishes are not, you know, scary.
Yeah.
You know, Godzilla versus sea monster. And out comes this crawdad.
Yeah, Godzilla has had some truly baffling creatures he's fought. Like, just fucking amazing.
Actually, they tell you Ibira is a lobster, but it's a crawdad.
I'll go. My number three is Mothra. It's a fucking gigantic.
That's mine too.
It's a gigantic moth. Really? That's
he can't leave Godzilla alone because Godzilla just emits that light from his mouth, and the moth has to come chasing.
I remember when I was a kid, and like Godzilla was the shit. Like Godzilla was so dope. And then, like looking back at it now, the cheesy ass Mothra, like the doll they used or whatever for it, looks so dumb. All right, was that your three, Ski?
That was my three, yeah.
All right, cool. All right, Kim,
I definitely don't have any extras here, so I'm sticking with it.
My number two is just because in the mid-90s, there was just no ideas. So they were like, we got to have Godzilla fight. Well, who's Godzilla going to fight?
Yep.
Godzilla from space! Godzilla. Space Godzilla! Yes!
Or they had Mecha Godzilla. Like,
Space Godzilla thing just cracks me up because it's just they had nothing. They should have just not made that movie in 94.
No, most
of them not make it.
They should not have made most of those movies. All right, my number two is the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man.
Oh yes,
get some. I don't think there's anything scarier than a fucking mascot blown up to kaiju size. The San Diego chicken blown up to kaiju size.
Can you imagine the Oregon duck mascot at that size? Just his eyes.
Yeah,
he's got the eyes of a killer now.
Yeah,
if he's the size of Twin Towers, game over.
Think of what he did to the Houston Cougar, man. Just going around like teabagging and humping buildings and taking down society.
Rest in peace, Shasta the Cougar.
Yeah, RIP, big ups.
All right, my number two, I'm going with King Caesar. Which, if you don't know, and it's, I don't know, something that fought, they fought with Godzilla against Mecha Godzilla, I believe it said. They say it's a stone lion god.
That's
what they say it is.
All right.
But it looks like a rat dog.
Ooh.
That's what she looks like.
It really
not
does.
A stone lion.
It's oh a rat no. Dog. That's so dumb.
Those old 50 movies, man, they did not give great aesthetics to these characters. Ooh. God.
That is a bad one.
They did a lot of bad work on costumes. Oof. All right, what's your one?
My number one is Bebop from the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
I don't know if that's big
Mohawk.
I don't know if that's big enough to be a kaiju, bro.
You don't think so?
I don't know what the size limit is, the size minimum.
The scale? I feel like he dwarfed the turtles.
I mean, yeah, he's like a foot taller than him, not like a couple hundred feet.
Is that
taller.
It?
I don't know.
Whatever, it's my list.
Yeah, you can have it. It's your list. It's your list.
The warthog, the giant warthog.
Yeah. All of a sudden, we're going to take this kaiju list super seriously.
I know, seriously.
Nah, bro.
Jesus. He had a necklace made of bones. I mean, what do you want from me here? And he wore those cool shades that were like... thin shape. We had to squint to get your eyes in the frames.
Yeah, like it was like blinds on the front of them.
Yeah.
That's all right. You're gonna my number one kind of fits into that category too. My number one is Mitch McConnell.
see, that's not fair. Because look, I had Donald Trump on there and I erased it. He's a giant monster.
He does kind of, his face looks like a kaiju, man. It's all like melty. It's like, I don't know, like the turtle style. He could be a turtle kaiju, man.
Could be. Hey, I did bring up King Caesar. He could look like many a politician.
Yep. So. Yep. Hair kind of matches Trump, if we're being honest.
Yeah. Right. All right. So my number one is Baby Godzilla.
Because he looked so bad.
He looked like he looks like he came straight off the set of the Dinosaurs TV show.
Yeah. Not the mama.
Not the mama.
A perfect representation there.
Which, by the way, had the saddest ending of a series ever.
Yeah.
Just nuclear winter for the dinosaurs?
Yeah. Yes. I was like, When I saw it, I don't remember it as a kid, but when I saw it as an adult, I was like, that's not real, right? Like, that's doctored, right?
Nope.
Nope. Just very, they just really came to grips with their nuclear death.
Froze to death is how it ended.
All right. So, yeah, about those ducks. How about them?
Yeah. Yeah, let's talk ducks.
Well,
I feel like I can play my clip from 2 weeks ago where I said, if Dana Altman does not play
Big Frank,
Frank Kepnong, he needs to be fired. It's inexcusable. He's the one guy. When the other team is out rebounding you by a million, you got to put in your one tall guy.
Thank you.
And they didn't until they were down by a million. The game was over.
It was too late.
He got dunked on real hard. Real hard.
I think that dunk is overrated.
Get the fuck out of here. That is one of the biggest facials ever.
No.
Oh my god, dude.
It's really not that impressive when a 6'11 guy dunks on a 6'11 guy. I'm just saying. I'm just saying
the 18-year-old learned a fucking lesson. Like, don't try to block a 6'10 guy when he's dunking him.
See, this is why players are so soft. Because everyone's like, oh, it's a poster. It was okay. No, it just went up.
Hey, you can't get a block.
It didn't even make SportsCenter's top 10. Like, let's relax
Pac-12 game in the tournament, it's definitely not getting it much airtime.
Yeah. And it was late, too, wasn't it?
Yeah. If you listen to last week's podcast, it pretty much came to fruition because Braga said that Will Richardson needs to have a big game, and I brought up LJ Figueroa.
Yep,
and they bullshit the bed.
They bullshit the, especially Figueroa. By the way, he was straight trash. My God,
and you could throw Eric Williams in there as well. He was a non-factor.
Figueroa was 2 of 12 from the field.
0 of 4 from 3.
Like they straight trash. The Ducks as a team. 5 of 21 from three, like, and you know you got to give USC some credit, I guess, because their defense up until they played Gonzaga had been good, and by the way, nobody's beating Gonzaga. Can we just say that we've been saying that, like, nobody's going to beat Gonzaga, but that was
USC making every three, and then when they play against Gonzaga, it's like. Sure. When they play against Gonzaga, it looks like no one on that team's ever shot a three in their life.
Well, but their zone against Oregon is more what I'm talking about. Like their zone against Oregon, like forced the Ducks look clueless.
Especially in the
first half. Like, I mean, I think all of us watching were like, hey, somebody catch the ball at the free throw line, turn around and shoot. Like, just do it. Like, and they had no idea how to attack it. Like,
that was the thing, and that's where the Zags got him out of the zone real quick.
Yeah. Well, Timmy
would go to the free throw line, catch it, and if the shot wasn't there, pass it right out. That guy would just pass it right again, bang, you got him out of the zone.
Yep.
You would think almost kind of intuitively, if Oregon's not playing a forward, or he would just be out there catching that, but they had no one who could. They just couldn't figure it out.
That's the thing. In the first half, you think you go Omaruyi though?
No, they did. That's what I was gonna say. Like, they had Omaruyi at the free throw line, and he just would catch the ball and wouldn't turn around. Like he'd only look to pass it out, and so like Altman put Duarte in that position in the second half, and so Duarte actually turn around and attack the rim a couple of times, but by then it's like, I mean, you have to make threes because USC was so far ahead, it wasn't even close anymore. And you know, they started making a few, but not nearly enough, obviously. 5 of 21. I don't know, Big Frank was interesting because I think we kind of, you know, Oregon needed the inside presence, you know, the entire tournament, and they just didn't go to it for whatever reason. And then all of a sudden Altman decides to, in the second half, when the game's already over, and he starts doing what Big Frank does, like stuff we had seen him do. And we had been talking about wanting to see more, where he's like, he's an inside guy, man. He gets rebounds. He's a hustle guy. He can score inside 5 feet, which not many other guys on the team can. I mean, Omaruyi can, I guess, But fucking, that was the kind of the thing they lacked. The entire run was like a big man inside, and they had it there the whole time, and he just didn't want to do it. Like I would have rather had him over Lawson all day long.
Well,
like,
you're not going to have to worry about that anymore because Lawson's gone.
Yeah,
I mean, the dirtiest secret was they kept playing Lawson so they could keep his
Keep his brother,
and that didn't work because I don't think his brother's coming either.
Nope.
Yeah. So what happened with Lawson?
He portal. He hit the transfer portal.
Yeah.
But you're gonna have your next year. I mean, you're gonna have three almost 7-footers out there.
Yeah,
just be running bigs.
Yeah. I mean, one of the quote unquote bigs for one of those. Like, yeah, he's tall. Skinniest guy in the fucking team.
Mm-hmm. I do wonder what the team would have looked like with a healthy Dante. How much he would have been a factor there, because he's not the best. Like, you give him the ball, he makes a move. You know, creating his own shot.
He's pretty good.
But his game kind of predicated on someone getting the ball in a good position to score right away, mm-hmm. as opposed to him having to make a couple moves,
I feel like Will Richardson would have been able to do that, like Duarte too, like just get in and then feed him the rock in a good position to score, and he scores. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you're right. You know, it's easy to forget that Oregon didn't have him all season.
Because, like you said, watching that Gonzaga game, they just plopped Tim A right there on the free throw line. He made a pass and then moved down closer to the basket and got dumped off, you know, what, 6 or 7 times in that first half for a layup. Yeah. I mean, he just straight murdered them for the first about 14 minutes of that game.
Yep.
And the worst part about the Oregon SC game is that the Mobley twins got, you know, that's who everyone was talking about.
They're like 12 points combined.
Yeah. I was going to say, but they weren't the ones that killed them. It was everyone sucking in on them or looking at them.
Yeah.
And then that just white guy, and then the guy that killed him in LA just
dumping threes. Yeah.
Guys hitting career highs in points and threes made. I mean,
you're going to lose. Yeah.
We saw that earlier in the season happen. We lost by 20 plus.
You are going
pretty much the same exact thing happened.
Yeah.
See, and I was kind of disappointed because everyone knew it was a bad matchup. It just was. Again, I'm a dummy. I don't know. I feel like they didn't go at him any differently this time than they did the first time.
Yeah. Trying the same shit. Didn't work.
Because even like at a certain point, I'd be like, hey, let's do the math here. Threes are worth more than twos. We'll give the Mobleys layups. We're not going to give up all these wide open threes. But they were just open.
They did both.
It's more frustrating. They just did that to Garza. They let Garza
exactly,
and then you completely change the game plan and give him open threes.
Yeah,
I mean, trying to say Mobley is, and Garza's better than Mobley.
And that's like, why
Garza was named the AP Player of the Year in college basketball.
That's why I thought Oregon would win because Altman's a better coach than Enfield.
Yeah,
and he would just do the same thing. Let the Mobleys eat. You know, cool. We'll hit threes and we won't give up any.
Make the Mobley shoots, you know, 67% from the field.
They could have.
Never seen a zone before, though.
Yeah, that was the frustrating thing, is I just felt like it looked like exactly the same as the first game.
Yeah.
And if I didn't hold Altman's, what, top 15 coach in the nation, without a doubt?
Top
10?
Yeah, top 10.
Yeah, okay. Top 10, probably. 15, no one would argue.
Yeah.
And it just looked the same. That was the disappointing thing.
He had to have thought after that first game we played him that it was a fluke.
That's kind of what I'm thinking too.
And he's just like, all right, if they do that again, we're going to lose. But I'm betting on these guys aren't going to, you know, shoot their career best this game.
And as just a fan – the frustrating thing in a loss, like if a Blazer fan, whatever, when they lost the Lakers in the playoffs last year, hey, if LeBron and AD are going to drop 32 on your head, they're going to do it.
Yeah.
It's not Caruso and Danny Green. It's like the Fiesta Bowl. Iowa State had a really good running back. He didn't do shit. They just kept throwing 8-yard passes to white tight ends. It was frustrating. Stop him. That guy is not good. Do something to stop the not good guy.
Yeah, you should be good you should be good enough to see the not good guy.
Like Edie or whatever for the basketball. Mm-hmm. Edie something and the white guy. Don't let those guys beat you. And I know that oversimplifies the whole thing, but it's just so frustrating when you watch guys that you know that they're not very good.
It was pretty simple, to be fair. Like, you're not wrong. Like, it's attack a zone. Like, you've all been in basketball your whole life. You know how to attack this zone. Like, just do it. Guard. Like, you're way more athletic than this doofy white guy hitting threes in your face all game. Guard him. Like, get a hand up. Like, influence his shot a little bit. It's really simple. Like, it really is. And you're sitting there watching it and you're just like, how is this not happening? Like, how is this the team that we're watching? How is this the same team we just saw fucking destroy Iowa? Like, how is this the same team? Like, they look like they've never played basketball before. This looks like a fucking middle school team. Like, not knowing how to play defense. Not knowing how to turn around and hit a 15-foot jumper. Like, shit.
Like, that was the thing is, on when they were defending SC, I was just like, guys, you're making this so hard. I get why when you're on offense and they're zoning out and they're pushing you out. Okay. I get how that's just going to make college basketball, most games, just ugly as hell. I get it. But when you're on defense and you're the more athletic guys and you're everyone's 6'6", play like you're a fast 6'6 team. Just try it. Yeah. And they just didn't. They just played a very passive zone.
Well, especially when, like you said, everyone's 6'6", your strength is getting turnovers and going in transition to score.
And just running.
Instead you give up open shots that lead to offensive rebounds or makes, and that kills your transition game right there too.
Yeah. And then give Andy Enfield credit. Their zone, they pushed everyone out.
They played it well. Because a lot of those shots that like Figueroa was missing, they were ugly shots that he was kind of forced to shoot because a guy was in his face playing him really well.
Shot clock down.
End of the shot clock. Exactly. Yeah. So again, you got to.
That's an Altman staple though. He loves getting that shot clock down. He used to do it when he ran like that 3-man weave at the top.
Kill
20 seconds doing that. Yeah. Like, all right. There's 9 seconds left. Let's get into the offense.
And then you get Brooks the ball at the top, and he just drives.
Brooks hits a three.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Pritchard last year. That seemed to be his offense with that.
Yeah.
It works that's my thing with Duarte. Yeah. As a number one guy, I get it. He'll be a first round pick. Maybe he should have been player of the year, but he just isn't an aggressive number one. Like ultra aggressive.
Yeah.
I mean, statistically, I could say he was the best 3-point shooting guard in America this year. Statistically, you can make that is a point you can make, but did he feel like ever at any point in the year the best?
He's not an 3-point
shooting guard.
He's not an alpha. Like Dylan Brooks is an alpha. Like Dylan Brooks.
Pritchard last year was.
Pritchard's an alpha. As fuck.
How many times could you even said that, he came down with the ball and just pulled up from three?
Duarte?
No, like Pritchard did. Never. Yeah. No. Pritchard did that all the time.
All the time.
Yeah.
I'm the best player on the team. I'm going to pull this three because it's got a better chance of getting us points than passing some of these schlebs on the team.
Been wasting 15 seconds and then getting a shot by one of these other fools. Yeah, exactly that. Yep. All right. Well, how about UCLA still in it? I mean, they're going to lose to Gonzaga, but it's been pretty fucking impressive. Like I'm a little torn here because I want to give UCLA credit. Like I want to, give the teams that are left credit, but like, look at the bracket. Like look at some of the teams that they've beat. Like, they're not good. Like, this bracket is full of average teams. Like, or frankly, not good teams. And so it's like, do we want to, like, prop up Oregon State and, you know, UCLA and, you know, talk about these amazing runs they went on? Sure. But it's like, you know, who did OSU beat to get to the Elite Eight? Like, Loyola.
Texas Tech?
Like, Loyola of Chicago. It's like, what the fuck is that? Like, UCLA, I looked this up earlier. UCLA beat BYU. They beat Abilene Christian. And then they beat Alabama. And I'm not convinced.
They beat Michigan State in the play-in.
Yeah.
Okay. Is Michigan State good this year? No.
No.
No. No. No. Neither.
You want to hear it good?
And Alabama was the one team that Alabama chucks threes, turns the ball over, and doesn't shoot great from the line. Sure. And that's a team you could easily beat if you
want to hear a good UCLA second weekend stat.
Sure.
Against Alabama and Michigan.
Oh, real quick. And by the way, like, Oregon's in the same boat. Oregon got a free pass with VCU.
Well,
and then they beat Iowa.
They were going to beat VCU. They were going to beat VCU.
Yes, they were. But I'm saying, like, and Iowa has one good player, and the rest of them are. Yeah.
We're not going to throw a two seed in there with Abilene Christian. Let's be a little fair there.
That's what Alabama is, too, though, right?
Yeah.
Anyway.
So Alabama and Michigan
in
the Sweet 16 and the Elite Eight, right? Against UCLA.
Yeah.
They went 17 of 36 from the free throw line and 10 of 39 from three.
Yeah, the free throw line thing.
They beat Alabama and Michigan by two.
Alabama could that shows not how make close, a free throw. Yeah.
That shows how, like, fickle the tournament is. I mean, it just is.
Well, one of Wilner's favorite things to put out was stats. I think it was Wilner. Someone on Twitter puts out, it was Pac-12's opponent's three-point percentage. It was like 20% for all Pac-12 teams they played, all, you know.
Yeah.
The Beavs, that's one of the reasons why the Beavs went so far, too. They made their threes, and the teams they're against did not make them.
And free throws.
Loyola missed a lot of open threes.
Yeah.
The Beavs.
Oregon like State, I mean, Oregon even State Houston, made free throws, by the way.
Houston's in the Final Four, and they haven't played a single-digit seed.
Yeah.
Everything has been 16, 9, 12, 11. I think 16, 9, 12, 11.
Yeah. I mean, I'm in the boat that the Zags are going to beat UCLA by double digits. Yeah. Baylor's going to stomp Houston, and at least we should have a good finals.
Yeah.
But this Final Four matchups are not going to be very entertaining.
I could see the Zags, like, beating Houston by, like, 20. Like, nobody is beating Gonzaga. They're so fucking good, man. This is their year.
Baylor's pretty good, too.
That's why I think it's going to be a good game.
We'll see. I hope so.
Gonzaga's just so hard to judge. Like, even in their last game, whoever the fuck, against USC – that mustache man, he does, like, just a regular layup. And he's literally, like, flexing. And I'm like,
dork.
My man, you jumped 3 inches off the ground, and it was just a layup. It was a regular layup. You did a spin, and you laid it up.
Yeah.
It's got the old school post moves, man.
Yeah. I mean, if they don't win it this year, they're never going to win it. And you got to fire Mark Few. That's what I'm saying.
You should be fired on the spot if they don't win this year.
Yep. Hashtag fire Few. Hashtag fire Altman. Start it up.
But the frustrating thing is, if the Zags win, I've been thinking about this. The Zags win, just across, like, all sports, really, in the last, like, 4 or 5 years, except the NBA. Same team wins. Always wins in the NBA. It's barely even a sport. Get it out of here. There are so many teams that, like, win, and you're like, oh, it's their first win in a million years.
Yeah.
I'm like, what? Why can't Oregon just get one of them?
Yeah.
Just one. I mean, even if it's on the women's side, like, just get one of those.
Yeah.
Well, how about we pull USC? How about we hire someone's dad and get 2 7-foot brothers? And then they leave after a year, and then he just goes, I guess. I assume he's just going.
This is the time, because Stubblefield is getting hired away, right?
Yeah, exactly. Gone. He just got hired. So
it's the time.
Coaching spot open.
Yeah.
Who's the number one guy in the country? So I can get his dad on board.
How would you like a free paycheck? You could just hang out. You could be like a video person. And by video person, we mean you just sit in the stands and watch practice and videotape stuff on your phone, post it on Instagram. That's fine. Like, that works.
It's the football team should do with that JTT guy from Seattle. Mm-hmm. Don't even know his name. Nope. I think he's a defensive lineman, but he's number one in the nation. Yeah. Just hire his dad. What are we doing? Making him a GA. Whatever. Oh, he didn't graduate from college? Cool, he graduated from high school.
Yeah. Get him.
I love
disclaimer. I don't know if he didn't graduate from college. No. I was just making a joke.
I love my street agents. Let's go.
I love how it's.
Oh, that's another thing. My God, I know I've been on Twitter too long. When, you know, like yesterday and the day before, when it's the NCAA versus the Supreme Court, and every college football writer who was saying that Will Lyles getting a couple of bucks was just the end of the world was calling like Justice Alito the Slay King and Kavanaugh. Yes, kill him, kill him, Cav, get the NCAA. Yes, yeah. My God, you guys are they're on the right side there. It's just a funny,
took them a while. It's
funny
there.
How in 10 years, the opinions have changed where.
Oregon back then was very easy to go after. You know, the like Chip Kelly's like arrogance and the shit that Oregon was doing back then. Easy to go after that. Like, I totally get
it. But Yahoo chased Will Lyles out of his job. So he got a job.
Charles Robinson, right? Charles Robinson.
And then Charles Robinson found out that he was a butcher at Wawa's, and he chased him out of being a butcher at Wawa's because he kept showing up at the damn butcher counter asking him questions about getting $20,000 from the University of Oregon. Like, in hindsight, hey, Charles Robinson, kind of an asshole.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just being honest, Charles.
Little bit.
He chased Will Lyles out of how many dollars? And you were getting paid. You were capitalizing on this college story. You're a hypocrite, Charles Robinson. You should be ashamed of yourself.
There you go. I'm sure Charles Robinson is listening. We'll at mention him in the post on Twitter.
I mean, it's a disgrace. This guy just wanted to be a butcher.
Yeah.
Now, that's a noble job Will Lyles wanted to do. You know, when you were a kid and you read books, there was doctor, fireman, policeman, butcher. Those were the jobs on Sesame Street. That's all Will Lyles wanted to do.
That's America right there.
Yeah.
John Canzano chased him out of there, though.
Yeah.
What a disgrace.
What a disgrace.
That's why we got Trump. So, I'm just
I was going to say, you're sounding like fucking Hannity over here. Nice work. All right. Well, wrap a bow on the basketball season. Women fucking went out with a whimper too. That was,
hey, they weren't that good this year.
No, they weren't.
It just is what it is.
And they didn't have
Pac-12's amazing. Pal would have helped. Mm-hmm. Knight, Sabali and them going out, you know, Shear, that didn't help. I get it.
Yep.
Sweet 16, hey, that was a good run for them.
It was. And Graves makes another Sweet 16. Program's still in really good shape. It's not going anywhere.
They're going to be fine. They're going to be really good next year.
They just got to not be mostly freshmen.
By the way, just speaking of basketball and next year, have you seen the Oregon men's schedule next year?
Mm-mm.
So they play in the Maui Invitational, right?
Hell yeah.
Which has, I forget who's there.
It's always a good team.
bunch of good teams.
Yeah.
And then they're trying to schedule Baylor. They play Baylor. So this is Maui Classic, right, in November. And then I believe it's Baylor in Vegas the same weekend of the Pac-12 football championship.
Mm.
And then they host Houston and Michigan.
Ooh.
And Michigan?
Yes. I don't know who those guys – I don't know what those teams lose, but holy hell, Dana. Are you trying to go 4-7 in non-conference?
Whoa. They host them? Like at Matt Knight?
Yeah. Because they went to Michigan not last year. But the year before with – was it last year? It was last year. COVID just screwed the whole – yeah, so they won in Michigan.
God, I don't remember that.
And then I think they lost at Houston.
Right.
Okay. You don't remember that Michigan game?
Dude, last year was a fucking – I got, like, nothing for last season, man. Like, I don't know.
I just remember because I really just remember it because it was one of those CBS Saturday games.
Right.
So it started at, like, 9 o'clock our time, and it was just bizarre being super hype at, like, 10 in the morning.
Yeah.
For a basketball game. But, I mean, hey, good for Dana. I mean, he's scheduling everyone, really.
Baylor, we played Baylor, like, 3-4 years ago, too.
They played him a couple of times, yeah. Houston, down in Waco.
Yeah.
Down in Waco, the Ducks got killed. They got killed down in Houston.
They played him in, like, a tournament, too. Is another one of those preseason.
I think Maui. I think that was Maui as well.
Was it Maui? Yeah.
I think so.
Well, the good thing is college basketball, and you can lose all those games. And
it doesn't matter.
Well, as long as the football team doesn't look at us and be like, hey, let's schedule some of the great matchups, too.
Speaking of good luck in Columbus football.
Speaking of the football team, like, they started spring camp today and immediately lost Sean Dollars for, like, 9 months. It's like, Jesus Christ.
Another year of Verdell and die. Kill me.
Yeah.
I can't with this.
They had to have someone in there. They just got in this recruiting class, right?
I think they did. And he just tore his knee up.
A different guy?
Well, no, I'm just saying. I think Dollars was everyone's hope.
Yeah.
Because it is inexcusable that in year four, Mario hasn't recruited a running back that could beat out CJ Verdell or
Travis Dye.
I don't even care about his first name.
Iris Hibibio.
Little Dye. He has no fingers. No fingers, Dye.
Am I crazy to think that we should convert Sewell from linebacker to running back?
Yeah, he's probably not fast enough.
Haven't played both.
You don't think he's fast enough?
How about
you see that first burst? Or Justin Flo's a little too big. Have you seen those pipes and?
Oh, well, that's what I'm saying. I think Sewell is a little bit too stocky.
You think?
Yeah,
hey, that's fine for running backs. Have you seen him when he attack when he hits the line of scrimmage to go after the quarterback? He's quick.
Sewell kind of looks like Verdell physically, kind of the same body type.
I guess I don't know Sewell how big he is.
Yeah, I'm not sure actually.
Yes, linebacker.
He's way bigger than Verdell.
Yeah, right. Yeah. He's a linebacker. He's got to be bigger than him. So.
Yeah. If Mario's starting a Verdell at linebacker, oh god,
fucking looked like we had a Verdell linebacker there. Jesus.
But they did have some Verdells. Yeah, that's true.
But that should just be the new thing. Anyone that's real shitty, god, they're playing a fucking Verdell out there.
any like 3-year starter that's just not good. That's a Verdell. Yeah. Anyone where you're like, wow, really? This receiver had 4,000 yards receiving? Well, yeah, he played 6 years. Verdell.
Yeah.
I mean, Verdell's going to leave as like number three or number two running back of yards. He's a compiler. He's Emmitt Smith. He's Emmitt Smith in green and yellow.
Put him in the hall then. Put him in the hall.
Yep. The Oregon Hall of Fame.
Yep.
Oh, God. So, you know, Thompson, first practice.
The C and CJ is compiler.
Compiler? Compiler Jones.
Compiler Jones Verdell.
That needs to come back later.
That'll be a thing.
That needs to be a thing. Oh, that's so funny. And by the way, like, it's easy to forget like who decided to come back too. Because, like, I forgot that Brown decided to come back, too. So, Oregon's got the two quarterbacks.
They both wear number 13, by the way.
Very interesting. So they're battling for the starting position and the number.
And the number.
Yeah. Yes. They're gonna decide it by a knife fight in the last week of spring camp.
Just going off one practice and just – still pictures online.
Yeah,
Just gonna say that Thompson's release point.
One of these things
better than Anthony Brown.
One of these things is not like the other. Yeah,
I kept looking at these Anthony Brown pics and I'd be like, "Oh, it's a bad image." Oh, they're all like that.
By the way, you know who looks better than him too is that Robbie Ashford kid.
He looks so good in the uniform.
Robbie Ashford today goes to Oregon's first spring football practice and then starts for them in the outfield in the baseball game later in the day. Fucking baller. Ugh. Give me everything Robbie Ashford's about, man. He fucking steals bases, gets on base. Speaking of guys getting on base, Robbie Ashford, speed for days.
A's will draft him.
Yeah. He'll be a development guy, and then all of a sudden he'll start, like, raking. He'll hit, like, 300 with 20 bombs, and they won't re-sign him when his rookie contract's out.
No, they'll draft him in the first round, and he'll go play football.
There you go. That's actually more accurate. fuck. same old shit. By the way, just that disastrous with the bases loaded in the eighth inning, already leading 5-1. Great start to the season, Oakland. So Bregman just destroy a ball earlier.
great start to King's fantasy season. He's got Gausman 6 2/3, only gave one run against the Mariners. So
hey,
pitch against the Mariners every night.
Good. I'm coming for your ass, Kurt. I'm coming.
maybe don't say it like that.
For that ass, not on that ass.
Phrasing. What's that in Archer? He says, phrasing? Am I the only one who still says phrasing? Oh, fuck. All right, shall we call it? We could talk Zers if we want to. No? All right,
we'll they went 4-1. They're on 4-0 on a road trip that no one cares about.
Yeah.
3-0 since getting Powell. So there's that. He starts. He plays well. Team plays well.
I will say it is weird that they're going with the three guards start. I'm not sure how much I like it, but yeah, I guess we'll see.
It's CJ, Dame, Powell, Covington, and Nurk. And so they got Cantor coming off the bench now.
I think Jones.
Yeah, and Mello, obviously. It's a nice bench, guys. It's a nice bench. I like it.
Someone does not like it.
Some shit's going down. Somebody does not like the Blazers lineup.
No. What'd the dog do?
Oh, the dog did shit? The dog do? Oh, no.
Sorry. Oh, yeah, sorry. Yeah, okay.
It does sound like a dog, to be fair.
Yeah.
What, you got Biden's dog in your house?
Right.
Shit up and shitting later?
Right, just attacking Secret Service left and right. Yeah. What's the call there? If you're Secret Service and like the president's dog is on top of somebody and like biting at their neck, like Joe Biden's dog is biting at somebody's neck. If you're Secret Service, do you, what do you do?
What do you do? You have to turn a blind eye.
You just let
the president's dog kill somebody?
I think so.
Man.
I mean, it's not optimum, but look at Joe's eyes. Are you gonna tell that old man that you just killed Major? That's your peepaw. That's your peepaw's peepaw. That man is old. That man cannot handle that news. Sorry, sir. Oh. Shot Major.
What a day that would be. Like, Secret Service shoots Major, they tell Biden, and then Biden dies of a heart attack.
No, that's what I'm afraid of. It's like that theory when an old couple, someone dies, canary theory.
Yeah, yeah. They die of a broken heart.
A broken heart. Yeah. You kill Major, you kill the POTUS.
You kill America.
Are you gonna kill that man? Are you gonna kill Hunter's dad?
Yeah.
I mean, really.
Yeah, and then
look at Hunter.
Yeah, you kill America like Ski said.
You act like the Secret Service had to clean up some fucking people getting murdered for the White House before.
Right.
I mean,
I would imagine there's a history of that.
Oh, in fairness, Joe might be old enough you could kill the dog and just be like, oh, I just ran away.
Just yeah. break, just go back to the pound and get him another one.
Or he's just like, what? I have a dog. No.
Yes, you have one. You have one dog. Yeah. You have always had one dog. One that's here. You never had two. Oh, that's right.
Oh yeah, I guess
two. No, that's not fair. What are we doing? Joe's a decent man. It's not fair. We're all going to get that old if we're that lucky. Joe, you're a decent man.
Yeah.